It's Indigo Girls live here at WFUV. And again, I want to welcome you back to our studios.
Thanks for having us.
And I'm sitting here listening to you perform and going back in my mind to, I guess the year was around 1988, and I was here at WFUV, and we were playing this record by these two women, Indigo Girls, that somehow made its way into our hands from down in Georgia. You put the record out yourselves.
Yeah.
And we didn't know, we didn't really know much of anything about the two of you, except that the songs were cool, and within a year or so, boom, Indigo Girls signed to Epic Records, and now, you know, here we are in 2011 with another fantastic record called Beauty Queen Sister, and, you know, it's gotten to the point now where you try to figure out which Indigo Girls album you like best, and it's just, you know, they're all fantastic, and that's admirable, a level of consistency over so many years. What's your secret?
Well, it's very nice of you to say that. Right. We probably could pick a few that aren't as good, but... You know, our secret for staying together and just kind of having consistency, I guess, generally, is just we keep changing it up, you know, as far as people that we collaborate with and people we're inspired by and people that travel with us, and that kind of keeps the music fresh. And then we spend a lot of time in our own kind of creative spaces. Emily and I write separately, and so it gives us a moment to ourselves to kind of create. And we've had the same management for 20-something years, so keeps you grounded, and it's like a family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think record-wise, we've had a few really great producers, that like Peter Collins, who did this latest record, who we come back to every now and then to kind of bring us to a new challenge, you know, and sort of turn everything back over again and figure out how we can, I don't know, face the music in a different way, maybe.
It's been a number of years since you worked with Peter Collins, right?
Well, we did a holiday record last year he produced several of our, what do we call them? What kind of formative records?
Yeah, I guess
our formative years? Like Rites of Passage and Swampophilia, Become mm-hmm. You. And then we brought him back for the holiday record last year. And so we actually made the new record in Nashville and used a lot of the same players that were on the holiday record. So it has a really nice organic. There's lots of beautiful fiddle and banjo and a lot of the same gang, and Peter brought all those people to us. So,
you mentioned your holiday record that came out last year. I'm assuming you did not record that close to any holiday season, and I've always thought it was kind of funny that, you know, you hear about, you know, all these Christmas albums that come out, and the majority of them are recorded like the middle of the summer, mm-hmm. and in the spring. How do you get into the holiday vibe when
you don't have a choice?
Do you decorate the studio?
No, but there were colored lights hanging in the studio, but we didn't decorate it. They were just there, so we got lucky.
You mentioned that you write separately, and when you're not on tour and not recording, the two of you do have your own individual things that you're involved in, and the space that keeps the two of you apart during that time, you'd say feeds the longevity and the consistency of the material?
Yeah, I think so. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's check with Emily on that one, but before I speak. But yeah, because I think when we come together to arrange our songs, we're coming from a completely different artistic space, so it just brings new stuff in, and we kind of have faith in that process. It's a little scary at first, you know, when you've written songs by yourself for a while and you've been focusing all on your own thing to, like, kind of bust that open. But it always works out, you know, and it's always a better song after we both work on it together. Mm-hmm. So it's fun. It's a fun process.
I was going to ask, have the two of you ever come into the studio to record with your own batch of songs, and the songs are so different, the two of you were in such different places at the time that you wrote them, that they kind of clash? If you know that are these songs going to be able to coexist on the same album? Do you ever have to go back to the drawing board?
We never have had to do that. I mean, for whatever reason, I think they just, either through the work of the producer, they just hang together, and we both like each other's material a lot. And by the time we get to the studio, we've arranged, if not all, then mostly all the songs. So we know, we've chosen which songs we think are strong enough to go on the record. So once we're in the studio, we're good to go. But it is like, it's just a journey, and we have such trust in our process, and we have, you know, just a lot of respect for each other's work. I think if we did the same kind of things, like Amy and I are so different from each other, and our sensibilities are different, our voices are different, the way we write is different. which keeps it interesting. So even if Amy writes a song that's completely different from, say she writes a punk rocker song and I write a pretty ballad or something, there's some way that when all the groups of songs come together, there's a cohesion there. I think it's just because we're both comfortable with the different things that we contribute to the group.
And that kind of brings us back to my first point about the consistent nature. I mean, I find it fascinating when I, over the years, have looked through the album credits and it's like written by Amy or written by Emily, and yet, you know, album after album, it all seems like it was just kind of all born at once.
Well, we do arrange everything together. So fortunately, we're unable to write together, but we, I mean, it's not easy because it's hard work, but we do have a knack for arranging our songs together, and I think that's what makes it the Indigo Girls thing, that magic that happens together in the arrangement process.
Before I mentioned the first record that you did yourselves, and you had also released a single and an EP in the mid to late 80s, now you kind of, it's kind of come full circle. Your days with major recording labels have ended. You've been, you know, recording under your own label through Vanguard Records. Has that process, has the fact that you don't have a major label affiliation affected you in any way?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we never had, no one at Epic ever, you know, told us what to do creatively. So we were lucky that way. You know, we really just did our own thing. But I think knowing that it's your own label and you have to have a very small recording budget because you don't have the money and sort of pick your battles and pick your, what you're going to spend money on, basically, it just changes the way you, the way the music feels when you're recording it, I think, in some ways, because you're really in control of everything. And there's a sort of spontaneity about it, I guess, because you got to get it done and in a short time, you know. And you're thankful, too, that you're able to still do it, I guess, because some people feel, you know, at a loss when they lose their label. And we kind of felt freedom from that, you know, I guess, just to kind of just go out and do our own thing and test our skills and wills, you know, against all that.
Right. I mean, you were with Epic a long time. Was it a little bit of a scary moment when you, when it ended, or did you take it like, oh, okay, just another, you know, day at the office?
It wasn't scary. We had a really good relationship with Epic, and they were good to us, and it just naturally ran its course. Mm-hmm. When we were first signed to Epic, it was the day when major labels were really nurturing the life of a band, and then the whole landscape of the music industry really shifted dramatically. So when we were done with our contract, it was time to move on. And I think at that point, Amy would have gone independent. But we got an offer from Hollywood Records. And the reason why we signed with them was because they said they'd give us some opportunity to get music and film and stuff, which we were really interested in. And of course, that never happened. And then we were getting ready to go in the studio to make our second record with them. And they dropped us. So we were happy. It was like, wow, here we are at last. It's come full circle. And ever since then, we haven't looked back.
All right. Well, Indigo Girls back here at WFUV, Amy Ray and Emily Salyers. Thanks to our audience of WFUV marquee members who are here. Indigo Girls have more music to play for us. And then I'm putting you guys on the spot. You'll become the DJs. And it's Indigo Girls at WFUV.